The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Merry Christmas from God Almighty, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not all the songs of Christmas are happy songs. Remember this verse? And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The most famous poet at the time, Wadsworth Longfellow. Remember Longfellow? Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote that verse during a time of great tragedy in America, what we call the Civil War. In fact, he had recently received news that his son was wounded in battle. But Longfellow was convinced that what we really need at Christmas time is to focus on the true meaning of Christmas, especially during times of tragedy and heartache. So his first verse, maybe you remember better. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and loud and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. You know many people, and I do too, dear ones, who are suffering through difficult times at Christmas. Sometimes it's loss of health, wealth, loved ones, life. So many things can distract us from the true meaning of Christmas. But what we really need is that focus too. And sometimes it just helps to take even one verse from the Christmas gospel and just focus on individual words and meditate on those words. That's what we'll do this evening. Words that the Lord caused to be spoken by the Christmas angel in Luke 2, verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. Today, a Savior for you. In a most unlikely place. Town of David? Do you realize that 2,000 years ago at the first Christmas, less people knew what the town of David was than today? That little tiny town of Bethlehem was the backwaters of the backwaters. It was like out in the coulees. It was back in the sticks. It was in a place where no one would ever find it. And those decrees that you heard about before were made by an emperor far, far away who had no idea what the town of David was. And if you went back 1,000 years before that, no one even in Israel knew who David was, much less the town of David. These are the things that make me believe that this is not myth and legend. This is not a story that human beings made up. I'm convinced by these details over so many centuries, no other religion on the face of the earth has prophecies like this. You have to go back 3,000 years to when it first became the town of David. But again, nobody knew who David was. Picture this prophet worried, hurrying along some dusty road to this tiny little village, to the home of a man named Jesse that nobody really knew. And this prophet Samuel had a job to do that was dangerous. If the king found out what this prophet was doing, Samuel would be dead. Because the Lord sent Samuel to anoint the next king. Saul was a wicked king. Samuel had to go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And the Lord said, I'll tell you which one it is. Imagine, 7 sons line up. And they're all fine, strapping, farmer, rancher sons. They all look like kings as far as Samuel's concerned. And the Lord keeps saying, not that one, not that one, not that one. Even that famous passage in the Bible where it says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Not that one, seven of them. Finally, they had to bring in the youngest son from out in the fields by the sheep. And that was David, the youngest of the eight sons of Jesse. And the Lord said to Samuel, anoint him. He's the one. David did become the next king after Saul. The Lord called David a man after my own heart. But do you realize it would be 500 years before anyone would have any way to connect the town of David, Bethlehem, Jesse's town, David's town, to Christmas? 500 more years. Now you're down to that prophecy that we heard before from Micah chapter 5, which you read in that first lesson. It's better in the King James because they translate the eternity of this Messiah. Remember those words? You read that on page 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, unimportant town, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The eternal ruler would come out of Bethlehem. Now you fast forward 500 years. And out of the desert come these kings. We don't know if there were three of them. We three kings of Orient are. Maybe more. We just remember from the gifts. But they come following a star from the east, and it disappears momentarily. They're taking their life in their hands when they go into Jerusalem and ask, where is the one who was to be born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. They had no way of knowing that the king that they were talking to or that heard about this King Herod, was one of the most despicable rulers of the ancient world, murderous, paranoid. Anybody that might possibly take his throne away, he'd kill, including his favorite wife and his favorite sons. Herod just killed him. And the wise men come asking, where is the one to be born king of the Jews? You heard the story. Herod makes it up. Tell me where you go and worship him, because I'll go and worship him too. The wise men are overjoyed when the star reappears, but they've already heard where it's going to be. Because there in Jerusalem, the Jewish religious leaders go back to that prophecy from Micah chapter 5 and name the place as Bethlehem. And when the wise men are ready to go, the star reappears, they follow the star to the place. This is some weeks after the first Christmas, because they're in a house by that time, and they go back and worship the babe of Bethlehem. The Lord keeps on doing this. If you haven't read in the Old Testament, I encourage you to do it. I beg you to do it. I dare you to read the Old Testament prophecies. There are hundreds and hundreds of them over a span of thousands of years. And this is why I believe the Bible. It's not just that my parents were Christians or that I was taught it as a child. I'm thankful for all that. But the way my mind works, I need to investigate. And the Bible is the only book that says test everything. So test it. You find again and again, no one could make up this story. This Savior for you, the account that was given to us, a Savior born in an unlikely place in the town of David. So from that royal line, which Matthew in his gospel traces through the legal line of stepfather Joseph, we follow through and we find Christ born in just the right place in the town of David in Bethlehem, that little town. You also have to know that this Savior was born for you as Christ the Lord. Do you realize that He should never have been born. I don't have to explain the birds and the bees to you. There's enough kids here that it's pretty obvious. There's a few of us that know about the birds and the bees, how to make babies. You need one man and one woman. Doesn't work any other way. It's the way God designed it. It's a beautiful thing in God's creation. But she couldn't figure out how this was going to be. We're talking about Mary. Because all of a sudden, this angel, who's named in Luke, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary while she's back home in Nazareth, and she's afraid, so he says, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." There again, reaching back 1,000 years to that prophecy about David. "And he, your son, will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." There's another prophecy we didn't read tonight, but that's from Isaiah chapter 9. "Unto us a child is born," remember that one, "unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We did read that one responsively. "And of his kingdom and of his peace there will be no end." The increase will continue. Mary hears this, and she understands the biology. She understands the science of this. And she's got an honest question. "How will this be," she asked the angel, "since I am a virgin? I've never slept with a man." She's engaged, but she and Joseph had not slept together yet. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God." We don't know how her fiancé reacted when he found out she was pregnant and she explained to him, "It's the Son of God." Not the sort of thing you'd expect to hear, not the sort of thing you'd believe. That's why in last Sunday's sermon, we heard how Joseph got the news and was ready to just put her away quietly. He could have disgraced her or had her, under Moses' law, executed for unfaithfulness. That was the penalty for premarital sex under Moses' law. But he was a righteous man, and you can only be righteous in the Bible by believing in the righteousness that comes from God and is received by faith. It's a gift that God gives. It was in the Old Testament too. And Joseph reflects the fact that he believes in the coming Messiah because he was ready to just divorce her quietly when he had this dream. Another angel of the Lord said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary," literally Mary, "your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This awesome miracle, this great and mighty wonder. Do you realize, dear Christian friends, do you realize, dear friends, if you're not Christian yet, that God loves you with an everlasting love and loves you by name and knows you by name? He sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world and did not send the announcement to some great king in Jerusalem or to even the religious leaders, the priests and the scribes. To this day, we don't understand why Herod and those leaders that looked it up in Micah, why they didn't go with the wise men to Bethlehem to meet this king. They just didn't go. They were too busy. Like so many people in our day and age, they just miss Christmas. You can miss Christmas because of grief in your heart. You can miss Christmas because you're too busy. You can miss Christmas because you feel guilt that just won't go away. But God wants to take it away. And so he comes and takes our humanity into himself as God and becomes one of us. And becomes one of us in such a sweet and gentle way that he takes our fear away. The angel said to the shepherds who were terrorized by that angel appearing in the sky out of the darkness, "Do not be afraid." And he tells each of us tonight, "Do not be afraid. A Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord." The Savior has been born for you today. This Savior would come and do what no one else could do. And that's why he had to be both God and man. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. There isn't a one of us who can say every word right, do everything right, never do any wrong or think any bad things. And that's what it would mean to be holy as God demands. Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Jesus said the same thing. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the fact that none of us can do that just means that we're all lost by nature. But God sent his Son to be our substitute during life and live as holy God all through life. 12-year-old boy chewed out publicly by his mother Mary in the temple, and he doesn't answer in disrespect. He's a preteen, and yet answering, "I had to be in my Father's house. Didn't you know about my Father's business?" And he goes home and he's subject to them. He obeys the fourth commandment and every commandment perfectly, again and again, without fail. Always right in his heart. Always right before his heavenly Father. And God looks at Jesus when you trust in him, and he looks at you and he only sees Jesus. He sees you as holy as his own Son. He's the only one who could then suffer the wages of sin and pay for them. If you and I died and went to hell, we'd suffer eternally for our sins forever. But Jesus, an innocent, the only innocent, could suffer under God's wrath, and God said that counts for everyone, whether you believe it or not. So believe it. Don't pass up the grace that could be yours. Because that all comes down to today. Today, a Savior for you. Anybody with a little understanding of history knows that we don't know exactly what day Christmas was. I sincerely doubt that they traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem during the winter time. Obviously not a Minnesota winter, but even there. So it probably happened in the summer, but we don't know. What we do know is that the Lord, through Luke, gives us details like we have for no other individual in antiquity. In that opening couple verses of the gospel, "In those days, Caesar Augustus, Roman emperor, back in Rome, issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." We can peg that in history. "This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria." We know when that was. We can actually come closer to the date of Jesus' birth, almost closer than my great-grandfather could. He always said he was born in 1880, but I was told by other relatives he was off by a few years. They just didn't have birth certificates in those days, and that's not that long ago. No one else in antiquity can tell, as God gives us this information, right down to the time when he was born, real Savior in real time for real people like you and me. There is a day, though, that's very important that God calls today. Sometimes you hear people say today is the first day of the rest of your life. In God's way of talking about this, today is the most important day of your life. Because the Lord says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Take this child into your arms as sweetly and easily as you would pick up a baby. Set aside all bitterness and anger. Let it be gone from your heart. Sweep it clean. God will make it new. He will give you this gift of repentant faith that will trust in Jesus as all you need, because that's all God wants. That's all he will accept. his own son. And trusting in him, no matter what the circumstances in your life or the world around us, you can have a Merry Christmas. In fact, I wish you a Merry Christmas from God. Amen.